Hello, I'm Colin Green, and you are listening to Spike Pit. Well, loyal listeners, I have to report I have gone down a rabbit hole of epic proportions. Oh my goodness, have I done it this time. Last week, got round to talking about illustration, and we're talking careers with my youngest. Got involved in a school options evening, and it just kind of stirred up some of those artistic feelings within, and I don't know what else it was. I'm struggling to remember, but anyway. Oh, I know what it was. It was Mr. Connolly talking about Iron Falcon and the Monster Book. I forget what it's called. Anyway, I started looking and I thought, oh, I'll get out my creature catalogue. I got out the creature catalogue and I started looking and thought, oh yeah, this is one of those TSR UK products. It's a real favourite of mine. I love the artwork. And I started looking, thinking, what could I do with this? Anyway, started taking a few photographs. Then I decided they looked a little bit yellow and a little bit faded. And I thought, oh, I can't be doing with this. I'll go on DriveThruRPG. I'll get myself the scanned PDF and I'll start dismantling that and see if I can use it. Bring it onto the slides for my adventure. See if I can make, oh, maybe I should make myself a monster manual of sorts. My own creature catalogue, as it were, using illustrations as inspiration, like I did in days gone by playing my fighting fantasy. Really loved my illustrations. Perhaps I could do this, statistic free monsters or a living rule book. Anyway, all these ideas coursing through my mind. Opened up the scanned document, was not happy. Decided wasn't good enough, the resolution weren't right. I would have to photograph all the illustrations in the original and clean them up and brighten them and change the contrast, change the black point, raise the white point. Anyway, I think you may have guessed where this is going. Hours and hours pass, days pass. Not content with the creature catalogue alone. Over 160 images or something in that region. All individually cleaned up and added to Google Slides. Labelled, I'm labelling, indexing. I think to myself, oh no, there's even more great images. I need to look at Out of the Pit, my old fighting fantasy. Well, there's an actual kind of monster manual. Another 209 images still going. Oh, I've got Titan. I've got Dragon Warriors. I've got this, I've got that. Anyway, folks, there are not enough hours in the day. I can't recommend it because what can I do with all this stuff? It's just for personal use. This is, this is all copyrighted material. I can't really do anything beyond personal use with it. But I don't know, I just love it. I love looking at these images. I'll be able to share it with my players around the table, maybe get some inspiration for my son, perhaps gradually replace some of these images. And I'm thinking, why limit myself to one image per monster? I can have mood boards for each monster. I can have multiple stats. Should I decide that I need to add the stats back in? Ah, oh, the choices, the scope of this project is massive. It's massive. And I guess it's perfect for the serial procrastinator. It never ends. I don't need to worry about finishing it. I can do a slide at a time, add them into my campaign in manageable chunks. I don't know. Who knows where it's going to go? Perhaps folks listening maybe thinking, what a huge waste of time. And maybe you're right. But I can't leave these images yellowing and faded in books that I rarely get out. I want to look at this stuff. Maybe I could put them into digital photo frames and have them scrolling by. Maybe I could print a few off, mount them up, present them as images on a wall around my house. I don't know. But it is kind of sad when these books are unavailable, they're out of print, it gets quite expensive to pick up the originals. What do we do? What do we do with these images? I've sent emails out to some of the artists to try and track them down, see if I can make contact. I don't know. And that is the problem with your monster books. If you're not playing at your house, what do? Do you carry all your monster books about with you? Do you limit yourself? And I'm recalling now one of the other things I thought about when I was getting involved in this project was this idea that, you know, I've been playing for years, decades at this point. And I'm thinking, well, do you know what? I haven't really used all that many monsters in the grand scheme of things. I tend to fall back on the old favourites because you've played them, they're in your mind. And I'm not happy with that. I'm not content to leave it at that. I'm going to breathe new life into some of these rarer monsters. And I find the creatures super inspirational. Reading the descriptions inspires ideas for adventures. And yeah, it's just it's really enjoyable and a nice way to while away, well, a good many hours.
Hello, Colin. Spencer here. This is my fourth attempt at leaving a message. I don't know what's going on with this old recording through the browser, but it's just well screwy. It keeps speeding me up, and I don't know what's going on. It's chopping lumps out of what I'm saying. But anyway, you don't want to hear all that. I'm calling up to say, well, I've missed the calling episode, haven't I? Every time I see an episode from you, I think I must call him up. I really appreciate the fact that you're keeping us in the loop, letting us know what you're playing at home, how things are going at school, how the ICRPG experiment's coming along. I'm particularly interested to hear that you're thinking of changing things up podcast-wise. If that means putting out more frequent episodes, well, I'm here for that. Anyway, take care, my friend. Bye.
Now, I bet you weren't expecting that, folks. My old buddy Spencer, a.k.a. Free For All, the man, the legend, the brains behind that awesome podcast, Keep Off The Borderlands. Yes, folks, you will never say Keep On The Borderlands ever again, even when you want to. It is true. My mind, my synoptic links, my neural pathways or whatever, totally ruined, ravaged by that criminal genius. What am I going on about? Yeah, awesome to hear from old Spencer, and he's burst back onto the scene with an epic episode. Depending on when you're listening to this, it's about, what is it, a few days old, maybe a week, maybe approaching a week old at this point. And Spencer's been taking a look at all sorts of indie role-playing products. He's been inundated, it would seem, with stuff that he's working his way through, and been doing some readings, and oh yeah, yeah. Do yourself a favour, have a listen. I'm sure you already have. If you're listening to me, you're probably listening to Spencer. We all know how it works. And yeah, I'm glad, Spencer, I'm glad you're enjoying it. My meagre offering. And yeah, it's funny, I do like to, see, the thing is, I do feel a certain loyalty, it has to be said, to people. You know, you've got people listening to your show, you can't just like vanish. and you know, not let people know what's going on. And should the occasion arise, as long as it's in my powers to do so, if I decide that I'm not going to podcast any longer, you know, it seems the least I can do is let everybody know, so that they're not hanging on. I remember one of the worst aspects of being a gardener and being self-employed was when there was a change in people's circumstances. And unfortunately, working for some older people, this did mean that occasionally my customers would shuffle off this mortal coil. But quite often, the last you ever hear of this stuff is people, they just got a bit ill or something like that. And, you know, the families, they've got enough on their plate. It's the guy who does the gardening is the least of anybody's worries. And it means you end up with a lot of loose ends. And that's not something, it's just not very nice. I like a story, a well-rounded out story. I don't want a load of loose ends. I like to know how a story finishes. So, talking of stories, we are having a whale of a time with ICRPG. I said I felt I was getting the drop of it a little bit more in my last episode, and I feel that continues. That continues quite nicely, and I am attributing this to the fact that I am playing Temple of the Monkey God. I'm running Temple of the Monkey God by J.D. Sterling. Hoping I got that right now. Pretty sure I did. And he has written it specifically for ICRPG. And what this means is he has injected loads of little flavourful ICRPG ideas in the approach to the temple. You're going up this precarious path. There's the usual dubious rope bridge that I mentioned before. There's an almost never-ending supply of these ferocious, nasty little red monk. Well, they're not that little. I'm imagining like red baboons almost, these monkey-type creatures. They're half a heart and they do double weapon damage in melee, but they start off by throwing rocks at you. So you're going up this precarious, slippery path. There's all sorts of little ideas that he's put in there. So you've got challenges where you need to jump across gaps and do these attribute tests, these checks. And when you fall, he's come up with a little mechanism whereby you slip, you fall, and you're hanging on by a hand. If you fail your check again, you're like hanging on by a finger, and at this point you need assistance and various ability checks. And it just really brings out the ICRPG from the book and brings it to life. And if you're kind of new to the system, it gives you quite nice inspiration as to the kind of things you can do with these flexible, more open type of rule sets. I'm trying to think of some other examples that he's come up with. Obviously, like, he's created these monkeys. You can tell he's just pictured something in his mind and made that happen in the stats. The stats are so simple, yet it gets the flavour. Somehow it gets the flavour of the monsters across. And he's tied in almost like a timer idea, like timers, threats and treats are a big part of the ICRPG game philosophy, if you like. And these monkeys are appearing D4 at a time. Now, his suggestion is every round. But straight away, I thought, for a smaller group, we've got a smaller group, that is a lot. And they are really quite nasty, and they soon start adding up. So I attached the kind of the respawning effect of the monkeys. I tied that to the regular timer dice. So you're rolling a timer in that many rounds, a round being one complete, everybody's had one go, you've gone around the table, as it were, that's your one round. And you roll this d4, so you roll a three. Every three rounds, you roll I'm rolling another d4 and respawning that many red monkeys. And then I'm just using a random roll to see whether they're coming, whether they're arriving from inside the temple, or somehow they're out and about on the cliffs and they're coming up behind the players. So you've kind of got potentially enemy behind them, encouraging the players, kind of almost forcing them along. At the same time, they've got adversaries at the other end lobbing rocks at them and things like that. And it made for some really nice action. It had that, what's the name of the film with Jack Black? Jumanji. It has some kind of like, in my head, I had some sort of Jumanji meets Temple of Doom, Raiders of the Lost Ark type of Indiana Jones vibes going on in my mind, playing out. And it just was, I don't know, it was just like full of action. There was a real sense of threat and urgency, and the pace was moving along. Some hero coins were getting slung around. I don't know, I felt my inner hankering for an hour kind of kicking in, and the players, we were laughing. And it's just one of those episodes where, you know, I've recorded so many sessions over the years, and typically, you know, I missed this one, and I would have loved to have had a recording of it, and just for my own sake, never mind putting it out there, but just for my own sake, I would have loved to have like listened back to it to pick up on probably loads of stuff that I missed. Although, having said that, I do feel a little bit more in touch with what's going on since I've been running this system. Quite often, I could get a little bit flustered wading through them big old WotC books, trying to like read some of the detail of what I'm expected to do, or I'm looking something up whilst the players are talking, and every now and then I'd find that they'd have asked me a question, and I'd kind of like, well, I'd ask them a question, then I'd not really listen to the answer. And to me, that, you know, that's not particularly good GMing skill right there. So that's where we're at. They're at the temple now, and they're confronted with this, once again, Indiana Jones like trapped up temple. But the traps are really heavily foreshadowed. There's lots of clues. There's a scorched remains of previous adventurers there, and there's clearly kind of like loot, which is like treasure, if you like, in ICRPG terms, scattered about, tempting them. And it's clear what they've got to do. They've got to figure out how they're going to deal with these traps and avoid them. And in fairness to them, you know, they're really engaging with it. They're not just going, oh, you know, no, we're not doing this. That's way too dodgy. Let's bug out. And there's a sort of a satisfying suspension of disbelief, which I'm quite enjoying. There's also this kind of level of meta knowledge. You kind of like, you engage with the systems, you sort of, you've got that timer out there and players can see that, and that's, you know, that's really obvious, and you're saying, right, I want you to make this test, and I'm discussing with the players, you know, well, what do we think if this is failed? You know, do we think it's fair that there's going to be this penalty, so everybody knows the stakes when they're going in and doing stuff? It's very much, everything's laid out there in the open, and we're kind of collaboratively crafting this kind of game session as a group. And for me, I feel like that's a little bit of a break, takes the pressure off the GM, and you know, these guys are all GMs as well. So I like to think maybe, I like to think it gives them a little bit of, I don't know, what, a little bit more authority with regard to what's going on in the session. You know, sometimes you sit, as a GM, you can sit in a session and sort of think, oh, you can get a little bit frustrated about some of the decisions. And you think, oh, I don't know, that, well, I'm not sure about that. And this gives a chance for all that to kind of come out and be resolved, and you're not really sitting there stewing on something. Not that, for me, that ever gets particularly serious, but sometimes you can be a little bit, well, that was not super satisfying, I don't think I would have done it like that, blah, blah, blah. So there, yeah, there, that's where we're at. I'll keep you posted on that one. And just circling back to illustration, something else. The first part of the show, I was talking about all my project and my enthusiasm for that at the moment. The other thing is I've dug out some of my big old kind of art books. I've got The Art of Warhammer. I was looking through that and I went down another little bit of a YouTube rabbit hole and found a series on YouTube called something like Old Hammer, Illustrators of Old Hammer or something like that. Anyway, this guy has put some really quite well researched episodes together about the guys that used to illustrate on White Dwarf and do the Games Workshop art. And I watched one recently about Paul Bonner, and he was taking a deep dive into, I think it might have been, no, let me get this right, White Dwarf 111, 111, pretty sure it's 111, and it was the introduction of the Imperial Guard for Warhammer 40k, and this guy, famous fantasy illustrator, at least he's famous over here in the UK, he did these amazing pencil illustrations for that introduction of the Imperial Guard. So full of character, they kind of got a little bit of a Brian Froud kind of vibe to them, if you know who I'm talking about there. And yeah, in the YouTube video, he's clearly got hold of the original artwork, and I think he's sort of like been buying this stuff up. I mean, I've got no idea how much this stuff changed his hands for, but it seems like he's got a personal collection. And really nice to see videos. He kind of like scans across the each of the images, and there's a kind of a commentary, a text commentary on the videos. He does like a little intro, and then it's just looking at each image in turn throughout the article, and it's some amazing stuff. And I'm going to be delving more into that series, and perhaps pick out some good ones, give you some recommendations if that's something folk are interested in. I don't know, but I'm interested in it, and if I like it, I'm sure there are others that would enjoy it too. As often in this world of fantasy RPGs, our tastes align, which segues into another interesting little snippet that I've got for you. I went away and I picked up Out of the Forests, which is Paul Bonner's art book. So inspired by this YouTube, I found a nice deal, about £15, big old hardback, full colour. I'm just starting to delve into it. But in the foreword of that book, Paul Bonner's talking about his interests, his early life and his inspirations. And lo and behold, at age 7 or 8, he's being read The Hobbit by his teacher on a Friday afternoon, and it has opened up a whole world to him. Before that, he was doing like sketching and drawing these battle scenes. getting dragged off up mountains in the Lake District and the forest, northwest England. Just like myself, his dad was an engineer. My dad was an electrical engineer and electrician and control systems engineer. And the parallels are uncanny. Obviously, he's a mega illustrator and I am no such thing. So, you know, pretty soon our paths went separate ways. But he went to art college and it's just really, I don't know, really interesting, nice to read. He talks about Ray Harryhausen. He talks about modelling in 3D with plasticine and using plastic knights. And he had a fort. Setting up these battle scenes in his home as a child and all this stuff, and it just rang so true and reminded me so much of my own childhood. Then he followed it up with Lord of the Rings and so on and so forth. You get the idea, but just really enjoyed the foreword. I've read a few pages into it, and like I say, once again, I'll let you know how I get on, and that is Paul Bonner's Out of the Forest. It's put out by Titan Books. And as far as I know, that's up and running out in print, freely available for anybody that wants to take a closer look. Now, I have basically covered everything there. I've listened to a few more podcasts lately. I'm going to try and come up with a few recommendations for you because there's so much good stuff out there. In particular, a couple of ICRPG offerings that I've been listening to. Big thanks to my patrons over on the Spike Pit Patreon. They're keeping me going and growing. And last but not least, I want to say a big thanks to you, the listener, for taking a bit of time out of your day to listen to our old Spike Pit. Take care, and I'll catch you later.